Today's message is entitled, The Character of a Good Soldier of Christ. So let us stand and let us read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Let us read. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Heavenly Father, most gracious and wonderful God, we thank you for this day, and we just pray your blessings upon this message. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The character of a good soldier. Now, in this second chapter of Timothy, Paul lists seven characteristics of a good soldier. But today, I'm just going to be going over the first two verses, 1 through 4. Now, first of all, for those of us that did serve, we had a choice. Those who served in the military either did it voluntarily or involuntarily, meaning that some went themselves and said, you know, I want to join the service, whatever branch it may be. And others were drafted. You didn't have a choice. Your name and number came up, you had to go. Now, there were other choices that you could have made, but some of us know that if you're a draft dodger, that is not good upon you. It doesn't look good upon you. So when a person takes it upon him or herself to enlist into military service, there are multitudes of reasons. Some enlist for four financial reasons. Some enlist because, okay, their friend is going. I guess I'll go with my friend. Some say, hey, we can travel. But for whatever the reason is, whether it's any of those three or for patriotism, whatever the reasons these individuals enlist, they enlist into a family, into a culture, a brotherhood, a life that is like no other. So once the new recruit has signed on the dotted line, they are now the property of the U.S. government. And guess what? You don't have any other decisions now. You think you may be going to California, but they can say, no, you're going over here to Wisconsin for your basic training. Once you sign on the dotted line, it's a done deal. You are the property of the U.S. government. Not the property of mom and dad. Now, for that new recruit, you're going to have either one or two of those guys, drill sergeants, that's going to be on you day and night, yelling in both sides of your ears, yelling in your face, because they have a job to do. What is that job? To break you down to build you back up. Break you down to build you back up. You're going to be doing things that's going to transform your body, mind, and probably your soul. I'm going to call them hikes. You're going to have about 30 pounds on your back, if not more than that. You're going to be walking 15 miles. These are just some of the things that you may do as an enlisted individual. When you sign on that dotted line, you are in basic training. And during basic training, you will have so many tasks that you will have to learn. And over that period of time, after you have learned those tasks, you will be tested on those tasks. And when I went, it was 20 tasks. You had to pass 18 of them. You had a PT test, physical training test, that you had to, for my age, I had to do. Well, for 100, you had to do like 80 sit-ups in 2 minutes, 80-something push-ups in 2 minutes, if you wanted the max. Or you had to run 2 miles in, for my age, 14 minutes and 12 seconds. But that's the max. That means you got 300 points. So you will wake up every morning going to breakfast in uniform, doing PT at about 4:30 after you've eaten about 4 o'clock. All of this is to transform your mind, because everyone that comes into the military service has their own set of rules that they want to abide by. The military can't function like that. Military cannot function if the general says something to the captain or whomever and they don't abide by it, then we're not going to have a great army. We're not going to have a great armed service, right? So basic training is there to help you get transformed, to help all of us get transformed. The same thing it is with Christian, with religion. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a transformation that's going to be taking place. It's going to take a period of time. Now, in the military, you have basic training, then you have AIT. That's advanced individual training. After basic training, you'll go another place for another few weeks to learn a specific task. Once you learn that specific task, then you get shipped off somewhere else, and you would do that task like it is a job, 8 to 5. They're trying to transform you from your civilian way of thinking into the military way of life, the military way of thinking. So when you see that captain or that officer come up, you know you better salute. So what I want you all to look at today is, what are the characteristics that personifies a good soldier? What is a characteristic that personifies a good soldier of Christ? Now, we have to remember, Timothy has just completed basic training and AIT. And Paul tells him to go to Ephesus because he's got something for him to do there. Timothy's first assignment was to combat the false teachers and charge that they teach no other doctrine. Now, you just getting out of basic training and you got to do something this deep? You got to go out there and defend what you just learned? How confident are you? He was also in charge of emphasizing the proper role of the Old Testament in confronting Gnosticism and a few other things. He was in charge of restoring hierarchical order and teaching and institute prayer for those in authority. He had a heavy job, and he's just out of basic training. That's a challenging job. In this second chapter of Timothy, his mentor offers words of encouragement, though. First, he says, you know, fan the flame of the gift of God that has been given to you. Fan that flame. And he also says, do not be ashamed to testify about God. As I said, in this second chapter, Paul tells us about 7 characteristics. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Be strengthened. Military is trying to take that civilian whose mind is weak in the ways of the military way of life. And over that time or period, they will have that individual a little stronger now, a little bit more confident in the ways of the military way of life. In other words, now I know how to stand at attention. I know how to salute properly. So be strengthened. That's what the military is trying to get them to do, is to be strong mentally and physically. And in the process, they'll probably become strong spiritually. In Christianity, once you give your life to Christ, we come in weak, not knowing not knowing much about the Bible, not knowing whether or not you got 2 testaments, how many books there are in the Bible, right? Which ones are historical, which ones are this, which... So when we come, we don't know much. Most of us don't. We've heard about John 3:16. We've heard about Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, right? We've heard about some of those. You know, most of us heard about memorized Psalm 23 and a few others. We've heard about those things. But as you walk daily with God, you should be getting stronger in Christ. Be strengthened for Paul to ask Timothy to be strengthened is kind of strange, because to a spiritually discouraged man, Paul is asking him to be strengthened. Be strengthened seems to imply perhaps some previous weakness, but it doesn't seem like Timothy had any weaknesses. But to be strengthened kind of says, you know, you were once weak. And we know now that Timothy is truly weakened in this state because of what's going on with his mentor. Timothy is to shake off sluggishness. How can we do that, though? How can Timothy shake by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Timothy can help shake off his sluggishness by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy is reminded of the strength by which he was to fight. The good fight was not his own, but that which would come to him by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is God's goodness towards those who deserve punishment. Grace is God's goodness toward those who deserve punishment. We all deserve punishment because we're all sinners. But by the grace of God, he showed his goodness to us. Hasn't he? More than one time. As much as we sin, he's shown goodness towards us. We lose a job, he's shown goodness by granting us another job. Well, this is my testimony. He allowed me to go back to school. By his grace, he allowed me to go back to school. By his grace, he allowed my wife and I not to have to pay anything. Because by his grace, he allowed me to work these odd jobs to pay for that education. So when it was all said and done, zero balance. I should be strengthened by that because he loved me so much that he left me with the balance of zero balance for this education. Now, if I didn't do anything with that education, what am I telling God? If I'm not doing anything with this gift, what am I telling God? We all have gifts. And by God's grace, we should use those gifts to strengthen not only ourselves, but the body of Christ, so that that strength can carry us forward into wherever we are supposed to be going. Wherever God is going to take this church, he is going to lead us by the strength of this congregation. First thing that a leader, one of the characteristics is, they need to be strong. In verses 3 and 4, sharing in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. Oh, look at there. We're supposed to share. We're supposed to share in the suffering. In the military, at least in the army, we had what they call battle buddies. All right? We had bunk beds. If you got out of your bed and made yours, and this person didn't make theirs, you had to do it. You shared. You're in a bay with eight guys. All of you had to take care of that responsibility. Everybody's bed had to be made up the same way, exactly. 45 degree angles on the corner. Shoes had to be shined, turned a certain way. Everything in the closet had to be like, I think it was three fingers apart. So we're supposed to share in suffering as a good soldier. Did Christ suffer? A lot of the apostles suffered. So why not those who believe in Christ suffer? Now, I must tell you that there was one time we had helped my battle buddy. He wasn't good at all. I mean, we helped this guy get past the first sergeant inspection and another inspection, and it came up to the captain's inspection, and I just said, I'm not doing it. And so we didn't do it. And so I'm standing there, and they didn't check mine, and they go to my battle buddy, and they look at his wall locker, and they say, oh, Lord. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm in trouble. And so the captain came back to me. After he asked, he said, whose battle buddy are you? And he pointed to me, and the captain came to me. He said, Private Porter, why is Private so-and-so's locker, you know? They said a few choice words, but... And I said, sir, We helped him pass the first two inspections. I figured it was time for him to be on his own. So we ought to share in the sufferings of either the weakest person in the group or the strongest person, whatever that suffering is. Now, it says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Entangled in civilian pursuits. What are civilian pursuits? What are civilians in pursuit of? High-paying jobs, right? What else? Well, greed, money. Whatever it is, it's going to deal with money. So as a minister then, I'm not supposed to get caught up in that, because my aim should be pleased to the one who enlisted me. My sole purpose should be God, point blank, nothing else. Now, that's kind of hard, because if you're married, it's going to seem like you're neglecting somebody, right? If you spend a lot of time at the church or wherever you're spending, you know, helping the congregation or helping the members, you're going to feel as though you're neglecting someone. And so you have to make sure that you take time out for that, but your aim is to please the one who enlisted you. So that minister's aim is to make sure that when they preach God. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. So you have Paul telling Timothy, continue in what you've learned from me. Paul has taught him a whole lot of stuff. And he's trying to encourage him, look, keep going. So the other thing, the person has to be single-minded. What is that song, Woke Up This Morning With My Mind? Stayed on Jesus. When we wake up in the morning, that's where our mind should be. When we go to bed at night, that's where our mind should be. As we walk throughout the day, that's where our mind should be. As a minister, our mind should never leave there. But anyway, two of the characteristics is to be strong and to have to be single-minded. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious and wonderful God, we thank you for this day. And we just thank you for this word that has gone forth. We pray that it's went forth in a manner that is pleasing to you and acceptable as well. And that those who received it today received something from it that they can carry on in their life. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.